Welcome back to Projecting the Jump Podcast. We are a fantasy basketball podcast that dives deep into the margins. I'm Flying J. That is Natron Clean. Yeah, Natron Clean, if you know what I mean. And we are here at the end of trade deadline day. It's really been a trade deadline week. It's been a bit wild. Natron, how are you feeling right now? Are you in vertigo?
As people that know me, I will always say year in, year out, this is the top five sports day of the year for me. Although, like you said, it's weird because it's been a top five sports week.
It's been, I know, it's like the action, usually when it's that early, the actual trade deadline day is a dud. And it wasn't super exciting, but we had some action today. The Pacers gave up a pretty penny to get Zubats, but I kind of liked that deal. So let's start there, actually. Just what was your initial thought of the price they paid for Zubats, considering some of the other prices we've seen for interesting players?
King's ransom. Yeah. I thought that was a wild payment.
Yeah. The Clippers have quietly hit resets in a very interesting way, turning Harden into Garland's and turning Zubats into that King's ransom. So, you know, little golf clap for the Clippers. Just real life take.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I thought they really were just going to play out this year and then just blow it up and start over, right. But they're kind of doing a little mini reset. It's a really smart play by that organization, and not buying into their little mini run they're on.
Not buying into their own stuff. Yeah, no, yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, what are your initial thoughts? I have a diatribe I'm looking forward to getting through, but you know, I'll just say there was a lot of big names: Harden, AD, Garland, Zubats. We mentioned JJJ, Vooch, Kuminga. Finally, yet at first glance, it did not lead to the add in all leagues immediately run, don't walk league winner that we crave as fantasy basketball players, which is kind of my initial takeaway.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. We're talking about so many marginal ads here, and I think a lot of it was because there was a couple challenge trades. There was some of these trading good player to a team that's tanking, to good player going to worse situations. But I mean, I think sticking with some of the winners, just kind of sticking right in Los Angeles.
Winners.
That's Benedict Mathurin.
Yes, good call.
I think Benedict Mathurin was the overall winner of the trade deadline. He's kind of stepping into the ball usage king, you know, James Harden on the leaving, he's right. Coming into that. That's the type style of play that Benedict Mathurin wants to play anyway. So he's always kind of a weird fit in Indianapolis because that egalitarian system was a little bit in contrast to the way that he likes to play. So I see top 75 the rest of the season for him. So I know that most leagues he's probably not available. Mm. It's just go pause right now and check to make sure that he's not on your wire.
I like that too. Some of the takeaways I like to give, or I'm interested in after the trade deadline, it's not just the pickups we run to the wire to look for. And if you run to your wire now, you can grab yourself some Jordan Goodwin or some Patrick Williams, but it's honestly not as exciting as we'd like. But I want to know the players that are on the margins on my roster that are going to be able to take a jump and catapult my team. And Mathurin, you couldn't step into larger usage shoes with James Harden exiting. And Garland, of course, you know, he has the biggest toe in the league. And if he stubs that, he'd take an even bigger usage bump. So I like the Mathurin take.
Yeah, that's That was the one that's kind of stood out there. Like you said, the rest of them, I think, are all kind of these little marginal things. The other one I'm looking at pretty closely is Dosunmu headed to Minnesota. Minnesota kind of spent the rest of their capital to trade for him. I mean, they traded 4 second-round picks, which is a lot for them. I feel like it's like one of those things, like somebody spending like $200 on dinner for one person is not a big deal, and somebody else spending it is insane. And that was kind of them just blowing their entire paycheck on Dosunmu.
Incredible that the Bulls, the talent that they've moved, you know, LaVine, DeRozan, Vooch, now Dosunmu, Kobe White, not a second first round pick coming back or a high pedigree prospect or anything like that. Just a bundle of second round picks. They clearly have a second round pick fetish over there in Chicago.
For sure. That kind of seemed to be the theme of the trade deadline.
There were so many second round picks.
They just got boom, 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 and hardly any first, really. But Dosunmu, you know, he's top 100 per game on the season. I think some of that is, you know, I think that's a little misleading because, you know, his turnovers are low. But I do think that he's going to give it long runway. They really want to see what he has, and they really need his production, either as a starter or as a you know, a ball usage sixth man. So I think he's top 75. It's really reasonable for him the rest of the way.
Yeah, at first glance, you don't think his usage probably won't jump, but his role solidifies, you know, because in Chicago, anything really goes at this point. Man, let's touch on, this has been your boy in the past, so let's, I want your take on Jaden Ivey, because it looks like they're ready to hand the keys over to him and just see what pumping high usage into Ivey looks like, because they had no other plan in Chicago. And I know you've been an Ivey guy in the past, and now we clear the way for my boy Dan S. Jenkins, which was already kind of starting to happen. So are you excited about Ivey? Do you think in a standard 12-team format, he should be scooped?
Well, so it's interesting. I was planning to circle back on this and actually ask you about this rotation. Ugh. Was kind of my plan on all this. And it is, but it's interesting because they did so many swaps. So looking at their guard rotation right now, it's wild. And so I'm just going to read off their current guards on their roster. And you kind of tell me where you, how you see this kind of fitting in. And then I'll kind of jump back in with Ivey. But so right now, you know, their bold starter is Josh Giddey, who's out with a hamstring right now. We'll see how long that is. That one could linger.
Sounds like a lingering hamstring.
Yeah. But then outside of that, you have Jaden Ivey, like you mentioned. They also traded for Anthony Simons.
Yeah.
They also traded for Rob Dillingham, a former top 10 pick just a couple years ago. Yep. They still have Trey Jones on their roster, who's a very serviceable backup point guard. And they also just traded for Colin Sexton, who's sneakily only 1 year older than Coby White.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, man, goodness gracious, that's a mess. That is such a mess. So you think that maybe somehow I can synthesize that for the listener and for you somehow?
Sure. Yeah, I'm looking just for like a soundbite. Like you tell me, buy, sell, like run.
It's a complete mess. I think Jones is kind of the odd man out just because he's more of a veteran. I think they're looking to get glances at upside plays. Off the top of your head, do you recall Anthony Simons' contract situation?
He's a free agent after the season. Okay. Unrestricted.
Dang. Oh, that's interesting. So because that was kind of a piece is like, what do the Bulls control moving forward as far as, you know, if they pump usage into a player like Simons and then he goes out and just gets more money on the market. I don't really think that is enticing, but I don't trust the Bulls team development. So it's really hard to know what they'll prioritize and what will inform that set of priorities.
Yeah. I also forgot to mention they signed another dunk champion, Matt McChung.
Yes. That was interesting. They were kind of like, hey, we don't want to be last in league pass rankings. We want to be second to last.
That felt like just the most obvious, like, hey, wait, you should still come to the games.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Buy your daughter. I know you had already bought tickets for that one game a year. Maybe you could pick up a McClung jersey. No, that was blatant.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess my takeaway is they're looking at this, even though I like Ivy, I liked Anthony Simons when they traded for him. I think they're all going to kind of cut into each other's value. So I'm just monitoring it. I'm not picking up any of these guys. I'm just, but I am going to be watching very closely these first two games after the deadline.
Yeah, that's a good way to, I think there's just going to be a lot of monitoring going on. I think, you know, Jacques Landale, that could have been a quick stream tonight with Okongwu out. And he was already starting for the Hawks at center tonight against the Jazz. And as of recording, he was doing damage against the Jazz tonight. So stuff like that. Vic Krejci is an interesting one. I think he could carve out a role in Portland as a potential streamer. But you don't need to figure that out now. That's another kind of watch, wait, and see what happens situation.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, I think also that Atlanta one, I mean, you just mentioned that I think Okongwu was a low caliber winner of the deadline, just kind of locking in that 30 minutes the rest of the way. Are you hustling to pick up Kuminga just because they kind of need the super sub high volume, high usage sixth man, or are you wait and see there?
So I've been up in the comments, you know, of other podcasts, just kind of getting the temperature on how people are feeling, who the pickups are. And Kuminga's kind of a hot name. You know, some people feel like his role in Atlanta, I mean, it's going to be more solidified than if he was being coached by Steve Kerr. So I think that he has to be a winner just because Atlanta's going to give him a look. But, you know, you have Rusheshe playing tonight, coming back tonight. He's kind of in and out of the lineups. Yeah, he's a speculative ad for me. But if your worst player on your roster is like Isaiah Collier or Pajemski in Golden State, I'm not dropping anyone like that for him. It just depends who your worst guy is.
I totally agree. I think he's going to have a longer leash which will mean some more accumulation of stats, but ultimately I don't think he's all that great, to be honest with you.
Nate, this trade deadline is a great feather in the cap of trying a 14 or 16 team league. There's a lot of fun stuff moving around for those deep league boys.
Yes, yeah, this is where it gets exciting. Yeah. Like 2 weeks ago, you kind of knew exactly what was going on, and now it's just like there's so many darts that can be thrown. Yeah, if we move on to, I think that the last winner, big winner I had, which I think is kind of going to be covered most places, is Jalen Smith for Chicago.
Yeah.
Just because they don't have any other bigs. I mean, he was a bust in Phoenix. I mean, he was a top 10 pick. Out of the league in 2 years.
He kind of sucks, though.
He's no good.
He stinks.
He's a bad real-life player.
Yes.
But somehow he's kind of reinvented himself into perhaps a decent stats bad player, because he now shoots threes and gets rebounds and does blocks. I think he stinks, but I also think he could be a stinker that is a hold-your-nose top 85 player.
It needed to be mentioned on this podcast. We came on to talk about the trade deadline, so we're digging for actionable stuff. I think we're going to have a stink-off in Chicago, Natron, between Sticks, Jalen Smith, and Patrick Williams. Who's stinkier? Mm. Because both of those guys are similar speculative stinky ads.
Woo!
Which, I got to tell you, that kind of brings me to my main takeaway, which is, as fantasy players, we love this stuff. We live for it. We froth for the deadline. I believe you've taken the deadline off in past years. I know I have.
It's a holiday.
It's a holiday, man. And like the thing is the trajectory of our fantasy seasons don't tend to change at the trade deadline. We all hope for that big prize to appear on the wire. We're in the bathroom refreshing our phones at work. You know, we're in the stall. Papers are piling up on our desk. We got our phones on Do Not Disturb. And our reward is Jalen Smith, Jaden Ivey. So that's kind of my takeaway is you should really save your moves for trade deadline week in general, not burning your pickups on Monday. But I can remember 1 year when I picked up Andre Drummond. I think he was traded to the Nets. And I was like, yes, I got this big prize. And he was like my worst player. I probably held on too long because I wanted to prove that I had a deadline prize. So keep that in mind when assessing your team. Don't overvalue the player you grabbed at the deadline trying to look smart to your league mates.
That was a great, great point. I'm not even going to call that a rant. That was just a great synopsis of this.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I felt like it was a rant, but hopefully it was an actionable rant. That's why we're here, for actionable rants at PTJ.
Actionable ranch, it's almost like an action film, but an action ranch. Rant.
The actionable ranch sounds like where you shoot old Western movies.
I think I stayed there in an Airbnb once.
I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express once. Any more winners before we touch on some losers, Anishan?
The last quick winner I got is just looking at the young guys in Washington. I think Washington really solidified what their goal is. And I think one takeaway I had was that they're setting themselves up to be really terrible this year.
Yep.
I mean, they want to have a top three pick, be truly terrible, but then do the fastest turnaround and be, they're aiming to be top three in the East. I don't think they're going to be, but to be really good next season. So I think to do that, they're going to need these young guys to develop, especially these young guards, to develop and develop quickly.
Yep.
So I think they're going to give a few key guys really long runways to kind of to show themselves, and everybody else is going to just get shuffled in and out and stuff. And so I think, I'm looking at, those names that, we all know, the Bub Carringtons, Keyshawns, Trey Johnsons, Bial, Koulibaly's. Looking at those guys kind of being pretty safe rest of the season, which is, I think, unique among the tanking teams a little bit.
It is, yes. And just to be clear, AJ Johnson was shipped to Dallas in that trade, but Trey Johnson, the rookie, remains. So that can be a little confusing.
I appreciate them clarifying the last names on their roster. I mean, Oklahoma City could do this for us if they really wanted to.
No doubt. I appreciate this, and I want to give a shout out to the Wizards for this reason. We have these atrocious franchises that just seem like they're aimless and we're not sure how long they're going to do this. And then they throw seasons away to get the fifth overall pick and come away with Ace Bailey, Utah. Washington and Utah have been famous for this. And then these two teams decide, you know what, we're going to take some of these assets. And Washington in particular, they pushed in their chips for very distressed assets. Trae Young and Anthony Davis, I mean, the price that they paid to take a role on that while they're still developing Sar and George and some of those guys. I think it's interesting. It's against the grain, and I commend them for being willing to not suck anymore.
Yeah. It's, as a fan base, you can question whether it was the right swing, but they took a swing, and there's something really fun about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so My losers, I think a lot of them are pretty obvious. You know, I'm not gonna spend too much time on the big names like, you know, JJJ, which I think is, sorry anybody that's rostering him.
Nay, over under 2.5 games played this season for JJJ in Utah.
I'll go over. I think he's gonna have, I'll say 12. I think they're gonna just handful. Be rotating guys in and out. I think it's gonna be a little nasty. I think really, actually, what I think they have, they've shown us this blueprint on a tank model, and I think that it's kind of this new blueprint, and I think it kind of tied into how you started the podcast talking about the pickups, was just the the Jazz, the Nets, the Grizzlies. They kind of are doing this type of tank where they play 11 guys 20 minutes. Right. So there's no ability for somebody to get a hot hand and accidentally lead them to victory. They're kind of just, and it ends up mitigating everybody's fantasy value. So I think that was one of my takeaways, is that we're going to see this. I almost wonder if there's going to be three or four teams by the end of the season where there's no guys rostered.
Man, oof, that's a bleak take, but it makes sense. Brooklyn is the prime example. I mean, one of the players we all wanted to give a gander to when he came back was Cam Thomas, and they just freaking cut him. I like how the Bucks were like rumored to be in on Cam Thomas, like just to add to like Kuzma and freaking all these high usage vacuums.
Oh wait, did they already sign him?
I don't know. No, they haven't signed him as of recording time, but they were rumored to be after him, and then the Nets just cut him. You know, when they couldn't work out a trade, which is always funny when you're pursuing a player that then the team disposes of.
Yeah, that's a red flag. That maybe you should be doing a different course of action.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, some Fallout Boys. You know, let's touch on some of them. Yeah. Like,
so my biggest loser in all this is going to be corporate coffee. It's going to be, I would head over to steelbridgecoffee.com/PTJ. Get yourself a winner of the trade deadline. It's really high quality premium coffee. Once again, that's steelbridgecoffee.com/PTJ.
And hopefully you had some for trade deadline week if you were staying up, you know, waking up early, staying up late, you know, refreshing for transactions, just drinking coffee and
you need
in bed.
That Steelbridge for that. For sure.
Keep that Thomas Thermos right next to your bed.
I thought, and I haven't seen this elsewhere, and I don't know if you've been seeing this too. It's the one that jumped out at me, and I thought the biggest loser of the trade deadline, and it's not because I don't like the fit long term. In fact, I don't dislike it. But for the rest of the season, Zubats in Indiana. I'm quite nervous about that. Okay. I think that mainly the way that the protections that they put on that first round pick that they sent out this year to the Clippers was top four protected, and then 10 through 30 protected, which is such a strange configuration, which makes me think that they are going to chase that top four really hard. And even if they don't, even if they do play them, I see Harden coming from a guy who was a perfect player to kind of show his value.
Pick and roll
Harden.
Ball, yeah.
Yes, pick and roll. It's like just run into the hoop, just kind of getting easy buckets and rebounds, to now going to a more of a ball movement system in Indiana.
Yeah.
I don't like his value the rest of the season.
Yeah, it makes sense. Measured take. We're not safe with just games played now, but does bring me to a quick winner, and that's the bigs in Cleveland, like Jared Allen right now, then Evan Mobley when he comes back, just having Harden's, just the way that he feeds his big guys.
1,000,000%. Yes, Jared Allen. That's a great take there.
Let's see.
Yeah, so let's see here. That's the rest of these, I feel like, are all kind of, there's slight losers. You know, Donovan Mitchell, I think you see some little bumps up and down. Your Nikola Vucevic is going to be down a little bit, but
big Vuce.
Whatever. I think.
Yeah.
I think actually, if you have Vuce, or if you don't have Vuce, it might be worth just checking in. And I'm curious to hear what you think about this. I'm gonna zag where everybody's zigging here. I think it might be worth checking in with the person who rosters Vuce and see what their panic level is, because I think baked into his price was the fact that he probably could get traded at some point. And I think it's not the worst landing spot, really. I think they're going to be able to showcase some of his strengths are going to be a little bit better. And I think he's still going to get a fair chunk of minutes in that platoon with Keita.
Well, that's my question, Nate.
I think he's only going to see a 15-20 spot drop in value.
That's bold. I would say more than that. But this is my question, though, is can he play next to Keita, the Portuguese assassin?
Hmm.
Because, you know, if one can play at power forward, Cade in particular, and Vooch can play center, they can figure that out. I'm just wondering, you know, it's not like there's a glutton of talent for bigs in Boston. So I actually, that's one thing I'm waiting to see how it shakes out before declaring that Cade is a huge loser. And he probably is a slight loser, but that's another one I have questions with. Now Vooch, I mean, I would think he would fall more into the like 50 to 75 range, but we saw this work with Porzingis. You know, it's a similar model. In Boston. Find out how panicked somebody is. I don't think that's a horrible idea. Actually, it's kind of a smart little take.
Yeah, I feel like it's just with all of these things, with these trade deadlines, it's almost if you're able to have good conversations with people, you never know who's super high or super low on somebody. And you can right. kind of buy the dip occasionally on some of these spots.
There are definitely some dips to be bought. But I guess that's the takeaway, is think of the trade deadline creatively, not just going to the wire and thinking you'll find a league winner, but look for the angles where a team build has changed for somebody, and maybe they don't value a player the same because a couple other players on their team were affected by trades. Look at the big picture in your league, both on your team, other teams in your league, and see how you can take advantage of some of the changes that are going to happen around the league.
That was very well.
Well, we're going to keep this short for y'all. We wanted to just give you something PTJ style after the trade deadline has concluded. Natron Clean, of course, has to get over there to the Magoo's bowling team, where he will try to avenge a recent loss, because we can't have that on this podcast. We're a podcast of winners. We try to win.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it was a humbling loss, but, you know, every title defense, you need to have a little bit of humility to come back a little bit hungrier, and that's what we'll be doing in this year's bowling league as we attempt to go 3 out of 4 years.
Yeah, and the gap year, it's kind of one of those things where, like, you know, does that really count? I mean, you could say really it's 3 in a row you didn't lose.
It's more of a Spurs dynasty. I respect the Spurs more than anything else.
All right, well, please do remember to subscribe. If you made it this far, hit the subscribe button so you can get this in your feed, whether it's audio or YouTube. Hit us up in the comments. Look for our shorts on the YouTube page. Cut up some of those just for fun. And I hope you had a good time with the trade deadline. So for Natron Clean, this is your boy Flying J. This is Projecting the Jump Podcast. We will talk to you all soon.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Trade deadline.
Projecting the jump. Projecting the jump. Projecting the jump. Projecting the jump. It's Nathan, Licky, and Jay. They're projecting the jump today. Will they guess right? Nobody knows. It's a podcast. It's about basketball. It's about coffee sponsors. It's about drinking and stuff.